Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome. It is great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by. We're moving into our third of 4 hours this evening, and it's going to be a very good hour. We've got Eli Harrell joining us here, talking about a season for the 49ers that has been incredibly difficult, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But he has been a bright spot in the middle of a defense that doesn't have too many bright spots to look at right now. The restructured A's management is one of the things that certainly grabbed our attention as we were preparing for this show today. There is a dream scenario that the A's front office jumble now will quickly turn into in-focus plans for a new stadium that could hopefully be offered up before the NFL meets to talk about the Raiders, which would give the NFL a solution, possibly in Oakland. We will get to all of that in just a little bit. But Eli Harrell, number 58 for the San Francisco 49ers, is good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Each week we talk to a different 49er player, brought to you by Stevens Creek Toyota in San Jose. Now available, the all-new fuel cell vehicle, Toyota Mirai. Eli, Damon Bruce, pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great, Damon, and congrats on your marriage, man.
Oh, wow, thank you very much. You know, I didn't see the 49ers send me a gift. How did you know?
Oh, man, word around town, man. You know how word travels, man.
Word does travel fast. I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Let me say, you know, it's tough to congratulate a guy who didn't win a game, but I thought you played one of your best games, as did your team in Arizona. That was a game in the fourth quarter, man. So, you know, it looks like it's getting a little bit better, right?
Yeah, I feel like we're taking steps, huge steps. You know, obviously we didn't come out with the dub, but I feel like as a team, not only a defense, but as a team, we took a big step.
You held David Johnson to 55 rushing yards, and that was a big part of keeping that game in shouting distance. You guys have had a lot of trouble holding running backs to small performances. What worked on Sunday, and what can you take from that into other games?
I just felt like everyone believed in the game plan. We trusted each other. You know, that's what it's about on our side of the ball, you know, playing with each other, trusting each other, and executing the game plan. You know, we all believed in Coach O'Neill and his play calling, and we went out there and tried to execute it as best as we could.
Pass defense struggled against Carson Palmer. It's been a tough thing all season long. How do you improve with Tom Brady and the Patriots coming to town?
Well, first and foremost, it all starts up front. You know, we got to get pressure on that guy, you know, as best as we can. You know, execute the plays, execute the calls. And, you know, just relentless effort, you know, playing a guy like that. You have to get people in his face, you know, and affect the throwing lanes. That's big, playing against a guy like Brady.
It's your second year. You're halfway through it. You were a third-round pick, 79th overall in the 2015 draft. What is the biggest difference in your game now from the day you were drafted?
Oh, man, I'm much stronger. You know, I came in this building at basically 240 pounds. And in the off season last year, I made a big point in, you know, getting stronger, getting some more weight on me. Me and Trent Baalke sat down and he laid it out and told me what I needed to do. And I feel like, you know, this is my job. This is what I do. I get paid to do it. So you need to take it seriously. So I made a big emphasis on in the offseason to put the weight on and come back as strong as I possibly could. And I feel like that's the biggest difference.
How do you put the weight on without getting fat?
Oh, man. You gotta eat healthy and you gotta lift heavy. So that's the biggest thing I can give you, man.
Eat healthy, lift heavy. Yep. Like that should be the name of your first album if you ever put one out. That's pretty good.
It sounds good, right?
It does. Eli Harrell from the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. How often is Navarro Bowman around the team at this point? Have you seen him in the last few weeks? Is he still involved with any mentoring or prepping around this team?
Well, he's coming in every day for treatment.
Sure.
I've seen him in the past few days. And he pulled me over to the side the other day and first congratulated me on getting my first sack. And just let me know, you know, he's in my ear. Just let me know what he sees and how I can get better, you know, just here and there, a little knickknacks to improve my game.
Does he help you in film study, film session? Who has helped you become a master of the tape?
I say Andre Carter. You know, I grew up a Redskins fan in Virginia. Grew up watching him when he played for the Skins, man. And the addition to him on our staff this year really, really helped me improve my game a lot. You know, he was an 80-sack guy in his NFL career, Andre Carter. And I feel like him, man, he's helped me tremendously. You know, him along with Coach Tarver, obviously, but Dre Carter, man, has truly helped me improve my game on and off the field.
Eli Harold from the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. How hard has it been to keep a positive attitude around a season that has now seen, all these losses in a row have kind of stacked up on you? There's no rest for the weary. Again, you got the New England Patriots coming into town. There's very little fun to be had in football when the wins aren't getting stacked like firewood. How are you guys keeping it loose and keeping a good attitude? We've seen Niner situations turn toxic in the past. How is this year different?
It's tough, but you got to look on the bright side, you know, coming in each and every day, you know, looking to get each other better, man. You know, it's not all about, you know, the wins and losses. It's how, you know, what you take out of the situation, you know, it's bigger than football, but ultimately, you know, we're not where we need to be. So just keep grinding and each day in and day out on and off the field, watching the tape, you know, improving, doing whatever we got to do. Is the biggest thing, man. You know, obviously no one wants to lose, but the ball hasn't bounced our way more than we have liked to, but it's just something that you got to just keep holding on and keep fighting and clawing and scratching, man, and just keep grinding, man. That's all I can
Colin,
think about.
Colin Kaepernick, here's the catch. As he becomes more comfortable in this offense, as he starts to get his strength back, as he starts to recognize all the little things that Chip Kelly needs his quarterback to recognize for this offense to click. I think the way that they restructured his deal, he's going to be out of here at the end of the season no matter what. So, you know, even if he is making progress, to what end is one of the questions that I would ask. Is Colin Kaepernick healthy? Do you think that he would want to return to this team next season with Chip Kelly as his coach?
Man, I don't get into all that, man, to be honest with you. You know, I just try to take care of what I got to take care of, control what I can control, and no matter who's back there for us, I fully believe and have faith in him that he'll help our team win.
That's a good teammate answer for sure, and I appreciate it. I really do. You've gone out of your way to expose yourself to an awful lot of criticism. You and Eric Reed take knees with Colin Kaepernick still for the anthem. It certainly doesn't hit with the weekly amount of attention as it did at the beginning. How much longer does that continue?
Until I feel satisfied, until I feel that, you know, the issue has been addressed. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of things go swept under the rug, you know, in this society these days. So until I feel that, you know, things are changing, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing.
What would a sign of progress be that you're looking for? Is there an indicator that you would say, if this happened, I'd feel better?
Well, I can't pinpoint one thing. Until, you know what I'm saying, it all starts locally. You know, obviously I can't call a meeting and address, you know, the whole policing staff or a whole group of people. It all starts with the community that I'm in, and you know, however I can reach those guys and talk and people meet each other and, you know, have open seminars about a situation. It all starts up front, you know, with the society or with the area that I'm living in. So, you know, the people that I can affect around Santa Clara, San Jose, you know, it all starts in that area. So, I like I said again, I can't touch, you know, the whole world at one time, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm following Cap's lead, and whatever he need help with, I'm here for him.
He needs a little help registering to vote, if you don't mind me saying. Maybe you could pass that along. I think that would go a long, long way to helping this conversation continue. You went to Virginia. Tell me about home. Where's home for you? Where do you hang your hat when you're not playing for the Niners?
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Beautiful?
75-7, the Tidewater area.
Is it beautiful there?
Oh, man, it is. It's beautiful. You know, coming to Cali, man, it was a big difference, you know, than home. You know what I'm saying? Being around a big area, all the traffic, how expensive everything is. It's quite a big difference, man.
It really is. I'm originally from the East Coast, and when I first got out here, I was like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah, this is officially different. This is not
what... it's real different, man.
But you like it, don't you? I love it. Yeah.
I love it. I love the town. I love the people. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it was a bit different, you know, not seeing a lot of, you know, familiar people, but nothing's wrong with different, you know what I'm saying? Different's always good. It's just something you got to get used to.
Eli, will you say anything to Tom Brady at all? If you're in position to say, like, you know, it's kind of cool to be on the field with you, or do you not put any nicety into your game day?
I try to stay away from the talking. I mean, the only time I would talk if it's a, you know, a real close friend of mine, someone I played with in college or someone I know, someone I trained with. But, you know, I try not to get in all that, you know what I'm saying? I feel like you're on the field of battle, you know, there's no friends. So maybe after the game, but no, I don't plan on saying anything to him while we're in between those white lines.
Who is the greatest college player from Virginia in the NFL? who's Mr. Virginia?
Well, I say my big brother, C. Long. You know, he was number two pick of the NFL draft, man. I don't know if we ever had a number one, so I think he would be the top gun. He went 2 overall, man. He's a dog, man. He's still playing. I get a chance to see him.
And we always wrap up with a question when we talk to guys, because I know that, you know, you spend a lot of time on airplanes. You spend a lot of time in hotel rooms. You probably spend a lot of time power watching TV series. What is the last show that you power watched and got sucked into an entire season?
Well, right now I'm watching a few. Do you mind me listing them?
Get in.
Power. I'm watching Empire. I'm watching Z Nation. And I'm watching the show called Atlanta.
So I've heard Power is like the number one show among athletes that we've talked to. Like every Golden State Warrior, most of the Niners we talked to have said Power. I've heard Atlanta's really good too. I got to start watching that. Are you watching Westworld on HBO at all?
No, I'm not. I got to check that out.
I don't even know what to make of it. I'm like 6 episodes in and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell. It leads the league in me turning to my now wife saying, what the hell's going on here? But it's
you
good.
Really don't understand it, huh?
No, but it's good. Like, I keep on coming back for more, so something's working.
Right.
What's the other show? Z Nation?
Z Nation.
What's Z Nation?
It's about zombies. You can compare it to what? The Walking Dead?
Okay.
But I don't watch The Walking Dead. Me and my girl tried to get into it, but we really didn't like it. But Z Nation is the show, man. You should check it out.
I will.
It's on Netflix, Hulu, and it's also playing live right now.
I like a little zombie action. Is it gruesome zombie action or is it made for TV?
It's pretty gruesome, man. Eating brains and all of that nature.
I hope you eat some brains this weekend. I hope
that's the goal, brother.
I hope when the Patriots get here, you eat a brain or two. Thank you very much, Eli. A real pleasure talking to you, man. We are 4 for 4 with great interviews today. I had never had you on before. I had no idea which way this would go. I hope we get to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, man, thank you, and congratulations again.
Thank you. Eli Harold of the 49ers. That was great. I even had like a Jed York Cabana question ready to go, but he was so nice I didn't even hit him with it because he was that nice. I don't want to make it awkward. Have you been to Jed York's Cabana? Do you notice that it's 18 inches shorter than it should have been? I was going to ask that, but I didn't. Man, that was really, really, really good.
He was cool.
By the way, the one guy in the text line who's like, come on, most popular guy from Virginia ever? Michael Vick, man. Yeah, that's Virginia Tech. Thanks for playing along. By the way, thanks again to Stevens Creek Toyota for sponsoring our weekly conversation with a 49ers player. Again, check out the all-new fuel cell vehicle Toyota Mirai. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you're just joining us, welcome. It's good to have you here this afternoon. This this morning, couldn't help but notice that Susan Slusser had one heck of a story waiting for us when we woke up. It was about how the A's have restructured their management, and we're going to draw a few lines between this and the Raiders. Be patient with me. I think you're going to dig this. So Lou Wolf is stepping down as the team's managing general partner. And according to Susan, he will sell his stake back to ownership, including majority partner John Fisher. John Fisher now takes over as the managing general partner, which means day-to-day business is his to do. Team president Michael Crowley, who's been there for almost 20 years, is leaving for a senior advisor role, and this makes Dave Cavill. It really is. We're going to get this right, Dave. I promise you that. Go ahead.
It's Cavill, like Cavaliers.
Cavill, like Cavaliers. Wrong team, Dave, to compare your name to. I just got to be honest with you. A little sensitive about that still. And he is, oh, he's from Ohio? Then he knew exactly what he was doing. Cavill, as in Cavaliers. All right. Well, Mr. Cavill's best at building stadium. He built the San Jose Earthquakes Stadium. Pretty impressive, I hear. I've not been down there, but everyone who goes says, thumbs up, huge bar, you're going to love it. He joined Afternoon Delight today. Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz filling in for Greg Papa, who, since you keep on asking, will be back soon. This is a guy who talked about a permanent Oakland stadium and a new one for the first time on this A's flagship from anyone. No one has gone as on record about progress for this. Now, the cynic in me wants to remind you that nothing matters until the shovel hits the dirt and this really begins. But hopefully, we see that Lou Wolf was maybe the guy who held up the right situation from appearing. You know, Lou Wolf is a builder and a real estate guy before he's a baseball guy. You know, Billy Beane's involved in ownership. Well, he's a baseball guy before he is an owner type or a builder for sure. David Forst, obviously, he's got a lot of know-how about him. Let the baseball people handle the baseball people. Let now, you know, this new team president get a stadium built. And it's time for John Fisher to crack open his considerable wealth to get things to happen. It's time for the Oakland A's to behave as a major league franchise. John Fisher is ready to behave as a major league owner. And I hope that now that he's involved, and will be more public, he expects and demands a little bit more progress. Gianna, imagine you're a billionaire, okay? You're a billionaire. You're hanging out with your ultra-wealthy friends. What's the difference between you ultra-wealthy and them ultra-wealthy? Well, you're the guy who owns the baseball team. So what you want to do is bring all of your ultra-wealthy friends to show off your version of the yacht that none of them will ever be able to buy. And you walk them into the Coliseum, and you're like, you just got to start making apologies the minute you have your rich friends over for lunch.
Right. It's what they would expect.
It's an eyesore. It's an embarrassment. It's unbecoming of a billionaire. It really is. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. So I really, truly hope that him being boots on the ground, John Dickinson, but I hope that him being around this team now, his name being more attached to it, now that Lou Wolf is faded into the background a little bit, will, I guess the word I'm looking for is embolden him to dig into the vast, vast resources that he has had at his disposal really this entire time. He's worth $2.6 billion. He is the 321st richest person in America and the 606th richest person in the world, according to Forbes, among sports owners. Well, I don't have the list of just among sports owners, but I guarantee he's one of the 10 wealthiest people who own a sport, to own a team in any sport. This guy's loaded. Loaded. And now let's see what he does with his money and with a young president who just got a stadium built in California. Let's see what they do again. And I would love this to be a boutique stadium, 30,000 fans, make it intimate, make it tiny, put it near a BART stop, get it the hell out of the Coliseum's footprint, and leave that now for Oakland to do something with, because this is the best hope. Because I'm going to take this A's announcement and piggyback what the Raiders should do. Look, if the A's are building a stadium in Oakland in another footprint, this is your chance to turn around to Mark Davis. Or if Mark's head is so up the rear end of Las Vegas that he can't even hear you, so you deal directly with the NFL. Libby Schaff calls Roger Goodell and says, here's the deal. The A's are out. They've got a new building. They're going to build one soon. The Warriors are leaving, which leaves us with a completely dead piece of property. Should the Raiders leave it too? What the hell happens at the Coliseum? And that piece of property, if the Raiders leave too, and the A's leave, and the Warriors leave, then you've got rotting buildings and depression that is immeasurable among Bay Area sports fans, certainly in the East Bay. What you hope is you turn around to the NFL and say, guess what? The A's and the Warriors are going to be out of here by 2020, which means you got 4 years to build. You can move into your new park by 2024 if you build it. If you give Mark Davis all the time in the world to get all the finances lined up for this, you raise the Coliseum, build in its footprint, then you tear down Oracle and you develop retail, team facilities and headquarters, a hotel, a whatever. You have a parking lot that other NFL owners would die for, that Jed York would kill for, around your facility that lends itself to a tailgating experience rarely found in the NFL these days. You would keep the heart of your team, the soul of your team, the soul of your fan base. They would stay in Oakland. The appreciation would be beyond words. This is a good enough team to help the Coliseum limp to whatever finish it might have in store for it. By the way, Lou Wolf was Mr. Tarp. Pull the damn tarps off this Coliseum forever. And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. A's, do your city a solid and make your stadium decision revealed Friday next week. Let us know in the next 2-3 weeks. Do not let the NFL owners find out that they could have moved there 3 days after they say yes to Las Vegas. Don't let them find out that this canvas could now be wiped clean for you to do whatever you needed to. And Libby Schaff should come forward and say, we got an idea. It's called football stadium. It's not going to be a stadium built for Coldplay or for Taylor Swift or for whatever monster truck rallies coming through Santa Clara next. No, 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 no. This is a football stadium that looks more like Lambeau than it does the future. That's what they need. Build the most perfect, boutique, greenest jewel of a stadium for the A's somewhere downtown. The Warriors are coming to San Francisco. No stopping that train. That leaves the Coliseum to be dealt with. Get some smart people in who know how to finance and raise money for a privately financed football stadium. Not a Levi's stadium. Not Turkey on the 50. Not an architectural disaster and a building that robs a fan base of any emotional response. Build a football stadium and make it nasty and make it in Oakland. Oh, I hope this happens. If one could lead to the other, this would really, really be something else. Damon, Where would the Raiders play home games if they raised the Coliseum? The answer to that question in your phone calls next.
Monday Night Football is headed to Mexico City.
Carr in the gut. Carr throws. Catch Seth Roberts. Breaks the tackle. He's down. Touchdown.
We have talent, and we're going to grow, and we're going to get better, and that's what's taking place. The guys are growing, they're getting better, we're competing every down, there's never been a question of effort, and we'll continue to get better as we go through the season.
Simeon throws down the middle, it's intercepted by Reggie Nelson, the game is over, the Raiders will kneel down three times, and they will go to 7-2 on the year. The Silver and Black are back.
Silver and Black do feel like they're back. The question is Aldon Smith going to be joining them back on the football field? Scott Baer, who will be joining us in about an hour from now, reported today that Aldon has been away for a full year now, and Thursday marks the anniversary of his banishment under the NFL substance abuse policy and the day he's formally eligible for reinstatement. So who knows what we find out about Aldon Smith? I would hope that the NFL feels like he is given by going to rehab and they got their pound of flesh out of him, and we'll see what happens. Remember, the NFL's first action could be suspending Aldon for even more time the minute he's reinstated. So we'll see. I'm all done predicting what will happen for Aldon Smith. I really wish him the best. And boy, if he could return even half the player he was for the 49ers, it would make the Raiders defense a lot more interesting. Him and Mario Edwards Jr. both coming back in the next few weeks would be huge. By the way, Carolina is leading 6-0 in this Thursday night game. It's another Thursday night color rush game. So it looks like the Panthers are wearing blue Otter Pops. You know those blueberry Otter Pops?
Yep.
And New Orleans essentially looks like Purdue.
Kind of like that white.
Yeah, they look like Purdue. They look like Vanderbilt or something. So, had someone ask me, where will the Raiders play home games if they raised the Coliseum? So I thought about this a little bit, and I thought of trying to kill two birds with one stone. This is either one of the best ideas that I've ever shared with you or among the dumbest. You can be the judge of it. The whole thing about Las Vegas is it just feels like it needs a litmus test. I would like to see an experiment happen there before a full-fledged move happen there. Why not give Mark Davis Las Vegas for 2 years? He can go play at Sam Boyd Stadium, see what kind of bounce you get from an NFL team playing in Vegas 8 times a year during the regular season, see if you hold everybody's attention, and why not let him go get his Vegas yayas out for a little while without building a stadium? You don't build a new stadium. Your new stadium's being built back in Oakland. But since it would be almost impossible to play in Berkeley, since they're obviously not going to play at Stanford, since nobody, including the Niners themselves, want to play at Levi's, although that's obviously the best available option to them, that they would go to share Levi's Stadium for a year or two if a new stadium was being built at the Coliseum footprint. But why not? Why not let him go? Why not let him get all of his desert-based yayas out? Go ahead, be the cool new kid in town and see how quickly that runs out, like a Vegas nightclub runs out of its cool quotient really, really, really fast. Again, Pure is the single greatest nightclub maybe since Studio 54. And Pure is gone now. It's gone. It just, there's something else in its space at Caesars. Pure is out, gone. So maybe? Why not? Why not? Has a lick of this made sense? Has any of it made sense? Not really. Can't play a Candlestick. That's the one thing I know. I'm sure of that. Candlestick is unavailable. Why not Berkeley, Damon? Well, because there's nowhere to tailgate. There is nowhere for corporate sponsors and box people who the luxury box crowd is a very small crowd in Berkeley. And there's also a major public university might not want to be inviting Raider fans onto its campus, you know, 16 times over the course of 2 years. Let's be honest. You got a reputation. So we got people saying, hey, this is the dumbest thing you've ever said. Damon, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Paul in Fremont wants to know, have you lost your damn mind? Let's not focus on what might have been a bad idea. Let's focus on the possibility of good happening over in Oakland for the first time in a long time. It's impossible, due to the laws of physics, for two entities to share the same space. And boy, we feel that way now about the A's and the Raiders. One of them is always in the way of the other when it comes to making progress on a stadium issue. Testicles, spectacles, wallet, and watch. No, spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. Bless yourself. Say a prayer that the A's in the next 3 or 4 weeks are going to tell us they've got a new stadium idea. Boom, we're going forward with it. It's not going to be at the Coliseum. Libby, you got an idea. Ronnie Lott's got an idea. You got investors. You got venture capitalists. You got people with blueprints. Whip that up. We need to see it before the NFL owners meet to vote on the biggest major media market mistake they could ever make, taking a team out of the nickel dime and putting it in Las Vegas. That is just so stupid. It makes no sense on any level. How about this? Would you like me to prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that moving to Las Vegas is a dumb idea? I'll do it in one breath. What other NFL team would take that deal? That's right. There isn't one. Now, you could say San Diego Chargers because they're just desperate and dying on the vine in their own way. But for the San Diego Chargers, what team in the NFL would move from its media market to Las Vegas tomorrow? Name me the team. There isn't one. It's a dumb idea. Terry is in Napa. Terry, we're talking stadiums. What do you got?
Hey, Damon, the move to Las Vegas thing's crazy. Once you got him in there, you can never get him out.
Oh, no, you let him know that this is, you're coming back, baby. You're not staying.
What I was thinking was, why don't you just build it in the South Lot and Malibu Lot, which they have rights to, while they're tearing the other one down?
Because I think you want the stadium right there, right off that BART platform. I think that that's a big part of the appeal that Mark has always had for that site. And he is really worried about tailgating, which I think is ridiculous because how you're going to tailgate in Las Vegas week in, week out, I really don't know if you're coming from Oakland. But I think that the stadium should be built right where it kind of is right now. And you could use a little of the existing footprint to save construction costs or maybe get a – I don't even know. Damon, the Browns would go to Las Vegas. No, they wouldn't. The Browns will never leave Cleveland again. Mark my word, they will not go to Las Vegas.
Well, how about this? They're a really good away team. We could just play two seasons away completely and win the Super Bowl that way.
How about this? Vegas is too crazy because it would tempt Mark to want to stay. The NFL's dying for a team to be in London. Again, experiment. Send the Raiders to London for a year. Give the Raiders Wembley Stadium rent-free for a year. The NFL picks up the tab. Make it worth Mark's while. He needs the money. I'm just trying to get him to play football somewhere while a permanent solution's being built. Send him to London for a year. Or send him to Levi's. I really don't care. Thank you for the call, Terry. Let's go to Seamus. Seamus, how are you?
Hey, Damon, what's going on? Hey, dude, I hope you are reading the tea leaves right because there's no way I want to see the Raiders move out of Oakland. I mean, the fans absolutely deserve it, man. We've been patient for now going on 14 years. And now that the future looks really good and the horizon looks very promising, the last thing you want to do is move to Vegas. I mean, just think about it. I mean, you're going to pull Pittsburgh out of Pittsburgh to go to Vegas? I
don't Never. Think so.
Green Bay out of Green Bay? You're out of your mind. I mean, there's no home field in Vegas. I don't want to turn on the TV and see Celine Dion and Carrot Top hanging out in the crowd. There's no black hole in Vegas. The black hole is in Oakland. That's where the Raiders need to stay, and that's where the NFL needs to make sure that they back up and help Davis, you know, move this thing along. And the A's, if they are a good corporate citizen, they should hear the voice of all the Raider fans and make sure they get this thing done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Some guy says here, Damon, horrible idea. London during our winning seasons. Are you crazy? Come on. This is what's wrong with everyone. I'm not allowed to have, we're not allowed to throw ideas at the wall anymore. None of this is permanent. I'm not speaking things that are about to happen. This is called brainstorming. And I got to be honest with you, I will black out the Oakland. I would black out the Raiders locally for 2 years if it meant Oakland would be your permanent home. I would forbid you from watching or listening any football for the next 2 years if it meant that going forward, Oakland is the permanent home of the Oakland Raiders. Like, I know that that sounds a little penny-wise, pound-foolish, but look, this is about a permanent home, not the next 2-3 years. This is about the Raiders staying here forever. And maybe Mark Davis learning the lesson, the grass over there isn't greener, would be a good thing for him to learn. More of your calls, 888-957-9570. No idea is a bad idea when we need a whole bunch of good ideas and we need them quickly here on 95.7 The Game. From the text line, why not let the Raiders play in Mexico for 2 years? Well, it would probably have a little something to do with this story that Will Brinson had today on CBSSports.com that the NFL has warned the Texans and the Raiders not to even leave their hotels during their trip to Mexico. So that's probably not a good idea. The NFL sent a memo obtained by the Associated Press to both the Texans and Raiders instructing the two teams not to leave the hotel or to order room service.
Really?
Specifically, once a section of the memo was entitled Safety, in a note that said, do not leave the hotel. Do not, all caps. By the way, whenever they write at you in all caps, that's the equivalent of screaming at you. So do not leave the hotel is what the memo said. The memo also instructed players to leave all expensive jewelry at home. I guarantee you Crabtree still rocks the gold chain, though. Leave all your expensive jewelry at home. Do not carry around big amounts of cash or use ATMs while on the trip. So there you go. By the way, this is kind of just good. It's good travel advice pretty much no matter where you're going.
Yeah.
But that probably ends any and all, why not call Mexico home for a little while? Look, if the Raiders tell Mark Davis, you're not moving to Las Vegas, they will have basically said, you're a putz. We don't trust you. We don't want it to happen. What a dumb idea it was to begin with. And there wasn't $750 million worth of free money waiting for us to make this think it was a good idea. But you can't tell someone that's a putz. You're a putz. You can't say that without giving them a little something back if you still want to keep them in that circle. Hey, you belong in Oakland, and we all know it. But how would you like your own continent for 2 years? Be the NFL's really first semi-permanent London experiment? For those of you who are saying it's stupid, is it? Wouldn't playing in London for a couple of years have a month on of home schedule, month on the road? It wouldn't be easy, but boy, it would grow the global brand, and you wouldn't feel like they were sleeping with the enemy if they were going down and playing it. I'll look at it this way. The Raiders playing in London would almost be cooler than them playing at Levi's Stadium. It really would be. I got people saying, look, how about Eugene, Oregon for a couple seasons? Damon, put the Raiders at freaking De La Salle High School. I don't care. Just get it done. They need to stay in Oakland. That's from the text line. Let's go out to talk to you. This is John in San Leandro. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, why not Reno? That's what I'm thinking.
Why not? Sure, Reno, okay. I don't know if their stadium there is better off than Sam Boyd Stadium if you're talking. No, not Reno. I got to be honest with you. Reno, nah.
You've got a fan base already. You throw a piddly little million-dollar upgrade on it, you get it free, and we can drive up there on the weekend and have the black hole.
What if they close the pass? You know, I mean, what if you get terrible snow in the Sierras and now you're stuck and you're like the Donner Party and you got black hole people. You got Raider Gorilla having to eat Dr. Death because they got stuck on a highway.
It's not that bad anymore going over 80 in the wintertime. And if you get stuck in Reno, that's not a bad place to get stuck for a night.
Thank you very much for the phone call.
Pack some snacks. You can make that work. It's a lot closer than London.
Look at it this way. With all the chains that Raider fans wear in the black hole, you'd have your tire chains ready to go. Phil is in Oakland. How are you, Phil? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon. Congrats on the marriage. Just a quick thing on the A's and Lou Wolf. All I can say is the sun is shining. The clouds have parted. Hallelujah, because it is the holiday season, and Lou, we'll see ya.
I hope you're right. Look, I don't know if Lou was the guy holding this up because he wasn't the guy holding the purse strings, but he was Mr. Real Estate. And he might have let a couple good ideas go by waiting for Perfect to come to town, and Perfect never showed up. So go ahead, pick a spot, build your stadium, make it sweet, make it cute. And if you are looking for that holiday feel, believe me, it's coming soon. It's almost that time. Come on. See, why doesn't that work? Come on. There it is. It's almost that time to. Oh, warms the cockles of my heart every time I hear it. This is Roy and Martinez. What do you got, Roy?
Hey, Damon.
Talk to me, Roy.
So, listen, I got an idea. Hi, first of all, congratulations. I hope you had a fabulous wedding.
Thank you.
And I got an idea. How about compressing the timeline by getting the A's to play somewhere else for a couple of years while their stadium is being built, and having the stadium, Mark Davis, start working on rebuilding the stadium right away? He can do the London thing. He can do the Reno thing. He can do the down south in San Jose thing. And then we all get everything done by the same time, 2020.
That seems like an awful lot of progress, really fast-tracked for two teams that aren't exactly known for fast-tracking progress. I think we're asking for a little bit too much right there. The A's, look, playing at AT&T Park for a year, not a bad idea. It really wouldn't be. There's no such thing as a bad time to walk into AT&T Park. It is perfect. And A's fans would have fun, I think, taking it over if the Giants would lend it to them. Somebody said that due to the fact Jed York took NFL money to build Levi Stadium, he would have to let the Raiders share it if the NFL forced him to. I don't know if that's true or false. And look, it's clearly the obvious solution. I'm trying to get a little creative.
Okay.
Give him Vegas for a couple of years. Give him London for a couple of years. Give him Mexico City for a couple of years. Whatever.
Well, them not having a permanent home, they'd be the logical choice to kind of send out of the country for a game here and there.
Yeah. I mean, we're just spitballing.
Let's go to Fresno. Let Derek Carr go back to Fresno State for a while. Why not?
Sure. Derek, David, bring them all. Bring all the cars. Jacqueline in San Mateo. How are you, Jacqueline? Oh, Jackie's gone. Let's go to E-Man calling from Pacifica.
Yo, what's going on?
What's going on, E-Man?
Hey, so I actually have an idea for the NFL in general. What if all the owners pulled money together and built a stadium in the NFL, in Vegas that they shared? And this would be like, instead of going to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, you could have the Pro Bowl in Vegas, which would be a much better weekend experience. And you could have the Super Bowl in Vegas, too. You know, every 5 years or so. And then you could even logistically have teams match up in Vegas as two away teams that just go there. And, that way you're making money from Vegas every week, and you're basically giving the owners what they want, which is a basically a team there that just rotates every week.
You would be asking an NFL team to give up a home game each and every week if you did that. It would be a tough sell. But maybe you could say, what if Vegas were the permanent home of Thursday night football?
Yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
I mean, just I'm every Monday night football game is in Las Vegas, or every Sunday night game is in Las Vegas, or the Pro Bowl's now always in Las Vegas. Put it on the Super Bowl rotate. Here's the thing. They're not going to build a permanent NFL-sized stadium without a permanent NFL team. So I think that's a pipe dream. But, I can't be worried about Las Vegas' stadium and the A's stadium and the Raiders stadium all at the same time. Sorry, E-Man, you got cut off there. We almost had you for a little bit more, but Button Vixen was riding that pot like she didn't care. She just crushed you. Oh, you know why she did that? Because I got to go to break. I'm talking way too long here. That was actually an executive move made by an executive woman. Thank you, Button Vixen. Scott Baer joins me at 6:30, which means we got another half an hour to chop all this up. And what I will also give to you is the single greatest football press conference moment of the year when we return. Leave it to a fifth-year senior. Leave it to a kid who was a walk-on to tell you about how beautiful football is when you're just dying to crack a lineup. That's next on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.